Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for June 9th, 2015. The time is just after 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Quebec, Assumption, Kemp, and Gary.
Thank you. I would like to invite Troop 53's Senior Patrol Leader, Sean, and I didn't get your last name, to please come forward with your patrol or your troop. If you'd be so kind as to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Sean, thank you very much for leading us. Councilmember Gehring, thank you. We'll have you listed for the pledge next week. And we did receive a phone call earlier this evening from Councilmember Gamble. He's running a little bit late this evening. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on to our public hearing. And Mr. Schauberg, I believe this is you.
Yes. Councilmember Davis, let me know. He's going to be about 15 minutes late.
Thank you very much. So I will...
Sorry, turn right there.
No, thank you very much. We'll go ahead and interrupt when they come in. Unless somebody's speaking, of course. Mr. Schauberg.
Thank you. The city is required to adopt a six-year transportation improvement program each year by July 1st. This program is required to be consistent with the city's comprehensive plan, and pretty much this year's is a repeat of last year's, although some of the projects have been removed that are no longer in the upcoming, soon-to-be-adopted comprehensive plan. So it's still consistent with the existing plan, but it has removed the projects that are no longer deemed necessary by the transportation plan that was recently completed. We're also required to have a public hearing, so that's scheduled for tonight. If anyone has any public testimony or there's any direction from the council, and then we'll come back next week for adoption.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing now. Do we have anybody who has signed up to speak already for the public hearing? Okay, seeing none. Are there any members of the public that would like to come forward and give public testimony regarding this item? Anybody? All right, seeing none, moves to council. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Brought a couple. That looks like the new items are. Do you just put them at the bottom of the new ones? I don't remember railroad overpass being there last.
No, that was on last.
That
year.
Was on last.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. I just don't remember it being on last time. Okay. And then Main Street sidewalk was too.
No, that's because we received the community development block grant.
Right.
And we'll be spending some of that money next year.
And so that's why. That's the new one. Okay. But for some reason, I was thinking the railroad overpass was new this year too. Okay. But yeah, the other ones I recognize for sure. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Right. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Brad, would it make sense to put what's grant funded on here? I mean, for my quick look at it, it would be nice to know if something is funded by a grant.
Where the money's coming from, yes.
Yeah, exactly. It just gives a quick overview of this is how much it costs and then how much it's funded, and then we know how much we might need to find. So, yeah, that was it. Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
All right. Is there any other action from council? Okay, I don't see any other lights to for discussion. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda is under announcements and presentations, and this is a presentation from the Monroe Boys and Girls Club. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford? Or right there? You can be our attorney this evening.
Thank you. Is that on? Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's been a long time since I've been in front of you, many years actually. That's when we were talking about the lease on the current facility, which we'll remind you about here shortly as we go through the presentation. My name is Bill Sincalis. I'm the Executive Director for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Snohomish County, which is the umbrella where the Monroe Boys and Girls Club sits. With me is Marcy Ballmer, who's one of our area directors and is also the director for the Snohomish Boys and Girls Club. She'll pick up part of this presentation for this evening. See if I can do this, Elizabeth Tommy, but see how good I am. So that's our umbrella. That's Snohomish County Boys and Girls Club, Snohomish County. Looking for the pointer. Boys and Girls Clubs of Snohomish County. There's the blue represents our locations. Today there are 21 locations, and I'll talk about the geographic spread here in a second. So we all know where Monroe is. I just have to find it right there. Anyway, that was club number 5 in the history of our organization. It all started here in Everett in 1946, and then it went to Mukilteo, then to Edmonds, then to Arlington. And all that happened from 1946 until 1991. When Boeing did all of its business over here and expanded and everybody came from Seattle to go to work, the rest of this blue started starting in 1991 in South County. We wanted to pick up the growth that was coming across the county from Seattle to go to work in Everett. If you recall, Mill Creek, Briar, and all this area down here was the first area that was being built up in the county, and we wanted to be where we could take advantage of that growth. So that was 1991. And then the rest is history. Each one of these is a different story. But the consistency between Monroe and most of the blue, almost all of the blues, we don't own much real estate. We are a tenant in a tenant-landlord situation, just as we are here. You're the owner, we're the tenant, we're responsible for providing the programs on your behalf to the kids in the community, but we don't own the facility. And we basically take care of the M&O. Occasionally you help us with some of the minor maintenance and the shell of the building. So that's our core area is still Snohomish County, but you can see with some of these now we've branched off into Island County with Oak Harbor and Coopville, down here in Kingston. You'll probably want to know why we're in Warm Springs, Oregon, and why we're in Brewster. And there's one more over here that's not showing, which is in Chelium, which is right above Grand Coulee Dam. The reason for that is we're one of the more mature Boys and Girls Clubs organizations. There are 20 Boys and Girls Club organizations like Snohomish County in the state of Washington. We just happen to be one of the oldest and one of the biggest. And so we've got some bandwidth. And as the communities outside of Snohomish County have wanted to add Boys and Girls Clubs, we started Boys and Girls Club. We've raised our hand, and with the partnership with our national organization, we've added these facilities. Warm Springs is a Native American community. That's the Warm Springs Indian Tribe. We have Tulalip, a partnership with Tulalip tribes on the reservation, that is up until just recently the only Native American Boys and Girls Club in the state of Washington. Warm Springs was hooked onto the Portland organization, and there was a split, and we were asked if we wouldn't manage that club from a distance, which we're doing. We've done that since the start of 2014, and we just entered into a partnership with the Caldwell Indian Tribe in north central Washington in the community of Inchilim. So we've also become kind of known in the Native American community because of our relationship with Tulalip. So that's a little bit about the organization. So we came to Monroe, 1981, as you can see, club number five. And we start modestly in most locations, and we started on the Frank Wagner Elementary School campus in the old bus barn. And that's where we set up shop. It was supposed to be temporary, and it wasn't very temporary. We were there for quite a while. But you can see during this time also is when we had a name change. Our organization changed from Boys Club back then to Boys and Girls Club in 1982, and the national organization did it in 1990, so we were the head of the group here. But we've been part of the community since 1991, again, a tenant with the school district being the landlord. This is, again, basically the same thing, but you can see some of the articles that were in the newspaper at the time. First girl to join the Monroe Boys Club back then, and about the same time that we joined there, made the name change. So, prior to 1997, when the current building opened, we were still in the bus barn. And if you recall, if you were here in Monroe or in the Puget Sound area, on inauguration day 1991, there was about a 90-mile-an-hour wind that blew through and it blew the roof off of the bus barn. And it really brought to reality that the temporary quarters really should be temporary, and we needed to start looking for something more permanent. And that's when you stepped in as a city. You may recall or may not recall that you had a property on Highway 2 where Fred Meyer sits, and you sold that to a developer who built Fred Meyer. And you took the funds that came from that sale, which was about $1.2 million, and you put out a questionnaire to your residents essentially saying, what should we do with $1.2 million? And you had a laundry list of things that people could check off. I think it went out through the water bill or something like that. And the Boys and Girls Club was one of the items on the laundry list. And the overwhelming majority, I think almost 90% of the responses came back and said it's time that we did something more for the kids. There's a growing community. The bus barn doesn't suit the demographics of the size now, and so let's put that money to use. So we looked at, and then you actually went through a process, I believe at the time, I recall, looking at what organizations work with kids and which one does the city want to continue to work with, and so we were part of that discussion, and again, we were chosen to be the tenant in the new building. The question was where. The money was there, but where to do it, and we chose the current facility because the land was there, the fields were there, and part of the campus that you have here, the municipal campus, so everything just kind of lined up to use that until we started to went to construction, and we started to dig the dirt for the foundation, and there was some bad dirt there that had to be mitigated, and that cut into quite a bit of the $1.2 million, but we had enough left to build the original facility, which was the games room, multi-purpose room, and the gymnasium. That was about a 15,000 square foot building that we opened in 1997. At that time, you can see right here, that's when I was working fairly regularly with the council and the mayor at the time, and we entered into a 30-year lease for us to operate this facility that started in 1997 that goes through 2027. That's where it currently stands as far as our lease with you. In 2006, we had some funds that were left over. We were on a capital campaign to actually build a new facility in Snohomish and a new facility in Lake Stevens. Snohomish opened in 2003, Lake Stevens opened in 2004, And we were fortunate that we did better than the original goal, that we had funding left over, because when we did the initial design on the building, I don't have the initial floor plan, but the part that we opened in 97 was intended to be designed to have a second phase to it. And so if you're familiar with the building, you've got the long hallway that runs down the corridor from the front door, what would direction that be? I guess that's east, past the gym. And so where that corridor originally ended, we then extended the building and added this room here, which is the multi-purpose room with the roll-up doors into the hallway. And then we added the teen center for the kids, and then between that there's a kitchen now. And then along with that, in the original games room, we partitioned off part of that to put a computer lab in there. So that all that took place in 2006, and that's the current footprint that we have. And then just recently with Comcast, we were chosen to do a refresh. So they had a couple of hundred of employees a few Saturdays ago to come in and paint and landscape, put some outdoor play, enhance the outdoor play areas and so forth to give it a refresh. So I'm going to turn it over here to Marcy, and then she can talk about the program and that goes on.
I'm looking excited, it'll distract me too much. Like Phil said, my name is Marcy, and I could talk about the programming for a long time, so I'm going to keep it really brief. But what happens, Bill's talked about the history and the walls of the club, but really the most important thing is what happens every day when the kids do arrive. So a couple of years ago, Boys and Girls Clubs of America came up with what is called our formula for impact. So we take the kids who need us most, the staff, and talk about what happens, you know, between the time they enter our doors and the time they leave. All of our programming, it falls under three basic priority outcome areas, which are academic success, good character and citizenship, and healthy lifestyles. And so when we're planning our daily programs, everything has to fall under one of those guidelines, and we have to really look and say, okay, are we doing this because it's just fun, or is there an outcome area that we're trying to focus on? So what that looks like in the Monroe Club and in most of our clubs is a variety of different things. Every day across the county you'll find our Power Hour program, which basically when the kids arrive, they have a snack, they get to debrief a little from the day, but then they get back to work on their academics. They have staff and volunteers that are committed to helping them with their homework. We have a great partnership with the school district as far as knowing which kids need, you know, which kind of help, and that we're really being intentional about the time that we have with those kids. I always try to sell it to the kids as, wouldn't it be cool when your mom picks you up after a 12-hour day if you could actually go home and enjoy your life and not have to fight over your homework? So that's more compelling to the parents usually. But anyway, we've had great success with our Power Hour program. Also, the Healthy Lifestyles program. As you may know, we have sports leagues that we run all year. We have flag football and volleyball in the spring and the fall, basketball all winter, and then starting this coming year, we'll also have a soccer program. Monroe is unique in the fact that they have just recently started running the SCORED program at the Monroe Club. And what that is, you'll see kids around the county wearing wristbands. Kind of looks like a Fitbit. But what it does is it tracks their activity level. They get to go online and create this avatar. And the more points they get to win, like, colored tennis shoes or whatever. It's all virtual. It's not real stuff, but they get really, really into it. So what's unique about that is that the kids can sink in at the Monroe Club. So they can show up, run around the gym. I know the staff are also doing it, so they're in competition, but they get to actually track their activity level, and it gives them an incentive to do that. So that's one of the neat programs that Monroe is currently running. Good character and citizenship.
Boy Scouts is a great example of that. We have programs like our Torch Club and Keystone, which are community service and character building leadership programs for kids. I tell the kids it's kind of like when we go to Kiwanis or Rotary, but it's for kids, and they seem to understand it that way. Youth of the Year is our flagship program where clubs across the county, including Monroe, select a youth each quarter that's been a member for a minimum of 2 years and has been an active participant in the community, and they're honored throughout the year. At the end, we have a big competition with all of the clubs. Somebody ends up going to state, then regions, then to nationals, which ends them up in the White House, which is pretty cool. And a great story that Bill always tells is we've actually had several from Snohomish County that have made it all the way to the National Youth of the Year. And so it's something that attainable that the kids can actually see. I think I'm supposed to be turning this. Okay. So just a brief picture of how many kids we're serving. Monroe has about 1,200 club members that are within the Monroe School District. Every day they see about 200 kids, but in talking with staff, I don't believe that counts everybody, because if you count the drop-ins and the teens and the child care and the athletics kids, that number is more around 300. Generally, Monroe serves about 50 kids for breakfast and around 100 kids in the afternoon for snacks. The nutrition is such an important part. Monroe's lucky to have an actual cook on staff. Not all of the clubs do. She comes in every morning, cooks a hot breakfast for kids. I think we all know that kids do better throughout the day when they've been given a nutritious start. This year, we're excited to be partnering with Frank Wagner Elementary during the summer, so the kids will be going over there and taking part of the free school lunch program as well. There are currently 89 kids in the child care program and around 600 kids playing sports. Obviously, there's more kids than that in Monroe, and our goal this year is to keep, getting more and more kids in the door, and staff are doing a great job of that by having programs that attract them. One special thing, and one thing that I love about the Boys and Girls Club, is that we don't turn people away based on ability to pay. Everything's very affordable. Annual drop-in membership is $30 per year. That being said, some people pay that, some don't, and we don't penalize kids for that. So the club gives away about $6,000 in scholarships per month, and that is in the form of child care, sports fees, membership fees, whatever the need is. So one of the goals that is to reach 123,000 kids and teens. That is not in Monroe. Don't worry, you don't have that many. That's countywide. Monroe has a significant piece of that. Currently, within Boys and Girls Clubs of Snohomish County, we're poised to have 20,000 members by the end of 2015. So we've got another 103,000. I'm not sure where we'd put them, but we'll find a spot for them. Some of the goals that the staff have are to provide even more meals, getting up to 3 a day rather than the snack and the one meal. And then we would like to continue to offer more scholarships. So those are some of the goals this year. Last night, we were actually able to visit with the Monroe School District, the school board, and we shared with them a slide that I think is pretty compelling that shows the impact that being a part of an after-school program has on kids. This is a comparison that we did with the Arlington School District last year, and it just is a snapshot comparing Arlington School District fifth graders to the kids in the school district that are in fifth grade that attend the Arlington Boys and Girls Club on a regular basis. And as you can see in the blue, the kids that did attend the Boys and Girls Club after school significantly had an advantage over those that did not as far as academic success. We know that this is the case across the county and across the country, so just getting that word out and showing that it does make a difference, having a safe place, those vital hours between 3 and 6 when a lot of kids are doing who knows what, mostly sitting on in front of the TV or the computer, giving them something better to do. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Marcy. I think first of all, before we open it for questions, I want to say thank you to the city. mayor, council members, and the community. We don't take the responsibility lightly with any of our landlords, and we hope that we're doing a good job for you. And you're to be congratulated. I mean, you're one of the few communities in the county that has both a YMCA and a Boys and Girls Club in it, and so that's a big deal for your citizens. So that's something to really be recognized for. So you know, we want to be part of the community. We hope we are that. We hope to do a better job of that, to be able to be an active member in the community, not just be takers but be givers as well. So with that, I'll be glad to answer a question if we have time for that.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much for your presentation. Before we go to questions, just for the recording, Councilmember Davis entered the chambers at 7:18 during the presentation. Again, thank you very much for your presentation. And Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. You've got about another 14 years left on the lease. Well, is there any plans to expand the building further, or desire to do that, or expand the current footprint? I'm not even sure if there's land available to do that, but I'm just questioning.
There's nothing currently on the drawing board, but we're open to any need or opportunity, you know, that would be there. I mean, you know, it all depends on demand and what we all want to do for the kids. Hopefully, we outgrow this facility, and we can add. There seems to be adequate property, but I don't know your zoning well enough to know what we can do with parking and some other things. Thank you,
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you for coming tonight. I've missed you in town. As she appeared in part of Rotary, and we used the Boys and Girls Club for Rotary meetings at one time for a while. So, I've really appreciated Boys and Girls Club in town and. Love having what you do for kids and our community, so thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you both very much for everything you do for our community. I know that when I was a scout leader, we used your facilities. I know that when my kids were younger, that our kids played basketball and t-ball through the Boys and Girls Club. And on behalf of our community, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Okay, before we move out of announcements and presentations, if it's okay with council, I have a special presentation that is a recognition of an employee that I'd like to go ahead and add to the agenda. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and pass down an email that I received on Thursday morning. This is about Miss Elizabeth Smoot. She has earned from the International Institute of Municipal Clerks the Master Municipal Clerk Certification. And it is of tremendous value to us to have employees that invest time and resources into getting proper training. And so they have presented her with this wonderful certificate, which Gene and I are now going to present to her right now. Ms. Swift. Face the camera and raise your hand. Get on the side. Can we get the phone? There you go.
I thought somebody was going to bring me ice cream.
They just invite me for some of the
things.
Let's all get it. Okay, ready? One more smiley. Perfect, thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay. We're now going to move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except for related to a quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Is there anybody that has signed up? Yes. And I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Is it Mark Raniero?
Raniero.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you, sir.
Good Good evening, Mayor, City Council. My name is Mark Renero, and I live at 13739 Cedar Drive Southeast. The reason I wanted to come here tonight is to talk with you about your billing practices in regards to sewer and water. I think everybody here can agree that it is unseasonably warm for this time of year, almost 90 degrees today. When I opened my City of Monroe bill yesterday, I saw that it was a total of $297.31 for 1 month's worth of services on current to date. So I started looking at the bill and I noticed sewer was $175.91. It's typically $92 per sewer. So I immediately called down to the city. I got a hold of Diane Nelson and she explained to me that the sewer billing is driven by water usage. And I explained to her that I have a 6,600 gallon swimming pool that I filled up in my backyard, in addition to some increased water of the lawn due to the heat and so on and so forth. So, with that being said, there is no increased demand on the sewer system due to my specific case of water usage. So Diane explained to me, that in the summer months, as of July 1, there is a summer average, if you will, that kicks in, that compensates for watering and so on and so forth. But it doesn't kick in until July 1. So I don't know what the threshold is, but I typically use on average from 800 to 1,000 cubic feet a month. I have for 8 years. I have a family of five. That's our water usage. Summer months, it jumps up. So she looked into the way the code is written, and there's no way around the code. The way the code is written, the sewer will be billed based upon your water usage. Obviously, there's some point, there's a trigger, that after a certain amount of cubic feet, the $92 goes up in excess. And my argument is, while water and sewer have a relationship, it's not a direct correlation. This is obviously an anomaly of sorts. So I would like to propose a credit of $83.91 to my sewer bill. I don't have an issue paying the $92 that we typically pay. Granted, it is high due to the increased demand on the sewer treatment plant and all the upgrades and so on and so forth. But there is no increased demand for me in my water usage. In addition, I'd like the council to consider some type of addendum into this, that when there's some type of anomaly that appears on a water bill, like double the water usage in my case, there is some sort of communication with the consumer. And it can be in the form of a letter, and it requires a reply within 30 days. We noticed your water usage is double. Is this valid? It could be a leak, could be a swimming pool, could be excessive watering. If they have a valid reason for water usage that's not related to the sewer, then we consider at that point how to move forward on that. But there was no communication in this particular instance. I just received a bill. And the answer that I get is, I'm sorry, too bad. That's the way it is. You have to talk to the city council about it. They're the ones that have the power to make that decision. So I'm here to you today to plead my case. I don't feel that I've used the sewer, so I feel I'm being billed for services that were not rendered to me, and it's not right. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Councilmember Guerin.
Thank you. If I could just follow up on some of the things that we heard with regard to staff, maybe just a couple questions. I noticed that as well. My bill was certainly a little bit more this month than it had been. Diane, is there when is this the kicker? Is that a July 1 thing? Because this is May usage. I didn't use that much water. I did notice it was sewer on my bill as I compared the month to month. It was definitely a jump there, and yeah, my water usage was almost insane. Not to talk about me, just in general. Is there something that's kicking in right now for this? Since it seems to be more than
it's the same. It's always been sewer. Right before the 2015 rate is $94.51. Flat fee for every residential unit until you use more than 1,000 cubic feet of water. And after that, it's called an overcharge kicks in. And you also pay sewer on the consumption above the 1,000 cubic feet.
Which is, if you're filling your pool, if anyone in town is filling their pool, then they're going to get dinged. Okay.
The code calls out the months of July, August, September, and October. Whatever you use over the 1,000, because they do realize those are months that people use more water, you pay the average sewer that you would pay during the winter. If you don't pay the extra, that you don't pay that overcharge on those months. For that reason, that was why that part provision on the code was created, in recognition that people are watering ponds and washing cars and things like that. But as was pointed out, this year got hot in May, and so the situation arose.
And so the kicker is kicking in earlier, essentially, is kind of what you're saying. Like, a bill would be that high because you might get over the 1,000 earlier than you would later in the year. Is that?
It's all weather dependent.
It's all weather dependent.
Yeah.
I think certainly some good points brought up on maybe some communication things. You know, perhaps maybe we can talk about, you know, how that might work. I certainly was doing the same when I looked at mine, but, you know, I have more access to some answers than maybe everybody else does. So it'd be good if anyone would be able to maybe have some of those. So I want to take that seriously, and perhaps Mr. Rainiero can be directed to a formal process for making his request. I don't know who would be the appropriate person to do that, but if he does want to do a full appeal on the bill, I believe we do have a process for that, which is here, do we not?
The process is if you dispute the charges.
Okay.
But the charges are in dispute. It's what the code calls for, and that's something that only council can change.
Now, I understand that. I didn't know if there's a more formal process for that, or if it's literally just coming here and asking. So this is actually, okay, I was thinking the other situation we had was fees. Okay. All right, that's right. And what was next to charges? All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure out why the code would go all the way through October. I'm thinking of my bill usage, and yeah, May is going to ramp up. June is going to be very ramped up.
It's because we bill 1 month in arrears. It starts with your July bill, which means your June 1st usage. As far as the months of usage, it's talking June, July, August, September. But you receive the bills for those months in July, August, September, and October.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's hard, because I know some September is just beautiful around here, and we're using a lot of water, so. Yeah. But I feel your pain because I was looking at filling up my pool next week. So,
which means you feel the pain next month.
So yeah, that means I'm gonna feel the pain next month. So,
but you'll be okay because you're in the time frame.
Yeah.
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 Just a second. Okay, so we are during public comment. Usually we don't have this sort of discourse, but Brad, Mr. Feilberg has some things to add. So I'd like, because it's timely, you all are talking about policy and potential changes and whatnot, and he has some timely information about policy. So, Mr. Feilberg, and then Mr. Hanford, Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor.
As you were aware, we talked before about the water and sewer rate study, the stormwater rate study that we're completing right now. The preliminary results that came back from the consultant, actually, their recommendation is that we change the way we bill for sewer, and sewer is just a flat rate and doesn't depend on water service or on water consumption. So, yes, the city council agrees with that, and we changed the code. This issue would not come up again. So, just so you know, that's in the works right now, and we'll be coming to you either at the end of this month or at the beginning of July.
So. Okay. Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor.
Yeah, I would be all in favor of, if that's what it sounds like. I'd definitely be interested in doing something like that. And,
okay. Councilmember Cutterback?
Yes, I'm in favor of doing that also. And you're saying, when would that take effect? If it's coming back in July, is it just an ordinance, so it's the period after we...
It depends on how the council wants to do it, whether you want to start it the first of 2016 or start it immediately, it would be up to the council.
Okay. Well, I'd be in favor of starting that immediately. And then I think if we do look at changing that and doing it immediately, if council agrees with that, which seems to be then we wouldn't have this issue arise, then I would look at, and I don't know how we would proceed doing this, but crediting back, because we're changing the ordinance pretty soon after he has come in and voiced his concern and had this problem arise, that we look at doing a credit back. And so I'm not sure the process of that, but if we make this change quickly, that would seem to me to be the equitable situation.
And what I can certainly do is work with staff, work with our attorney to find out how that works, and then get back to council.
Councilmember Camp, I'm sorry, Councilmember Gehring, and then Councilmember Camp.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm absolutely in favor of I think what's been asked is reasonable, given the fact that we are going to change it. Well, I think it's very likely that we might change it based on some of the feedback that we've received this evening. And that we're being told that we need to change the way we do stuff. I think, in the spirit of fairness and being reasonable, I don't think I'm certainly not opposed to refunding the money that was asked for. So, but I do look forward to that coming back so we can make something official. And I would hope sooner than later, again, so we won't have these kind of issues in the future.
Councilmember Camp.
I know we'll discuss this more in the future, but will this impact businesses as well?
The proposal is to actually have a base charge for businesses and then a water usage increase for the sewer businesses. It would only be residential that wouldn't have the increase if their water usage went up.
Because a few years ago, maybe it was a few years ago, we had a similar request from the laundromat. Mm-hmm. About how their water tends to go out the door rather than the air, and not now actually out to the sewer. Also, any proposed refunds will be citywide, or just you ask for it?
We'll need to. What I'd like to do is I'd like to, because again, to be fair, okay. As Councilmember Gehring put it, I want to make certain I understand what the options are, ask those questions, and get back to council on what I understand are our options.
Thank you.
All right, anything else? Okay. Ms. Raniero, I would expect that somebody from staff will get back to you in the next few days. It's going to require some research. As you heard, Councilmember Camp asked a very good question. What does this mean for other people that would be in a similar situation? And so we've got some research that we need to do to find out what we're able to do. So thank you very much for bringing this to our attention this evening.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that has not signed up that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody at all? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
I have a first, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to approve? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item on our agenda is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 15105, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, what I want to do is share with you a comment letter that came in, and it came in after I was able to get this into the actual council packet. And it's just a matter of information tonight, because at some point in time, our consultant and I will be responding to these, and so the draft that eventually comes back to you will address these comments. But from the very beginning, when we started the comment period, we anticipated comments from certain agencies, one of them the Puget Sound Regional Council. And this is probably the most substantive comment letter that we've received to date. Although, in actually looking at it, they're very manageable comments to respond to. But again, the Puget Sound Regional Council is the metropolitan planning organization. They're responsible for dispersing federal transportation funds over the four-county area, King, Kitsap, Snohomish, and Pierce County. and they are required to certify local government transportation elements, and to that extent, it's important that we do respond to these to maintain eligibility for federal grant funding. So I've actually gone through these to some extent with a consultant. We're going to split up in terms of how we respond. I find it a little interesting that they spend some time on the actual airport. They caught on the fact that there's a change in the plan designation for the airport area, and I'm sure that they want us to at least recognize land use compatibility. And actually, I think Monroe does a pretty good job in our zoning code about land use compatibility with the airport. So it may just be a matter of communicating to the Puget Sound Regional Council staff that we do that, but we may add some policies to address that. And then the last three bullets are interesting to the extent that they seem to pick up on housing issues in the city. And so maybe next week I'll spend a little bit of time talking about the housing element in the conference plan and give you a briefing on that. It's interesting that they picked up to some extent. I remember, I think last week when we talked about the economic development element, Councilmember Cutback mentioned that you picked up on some text in the economic development section about changing demographics and how we're becoming an older community. And one of the comments back from the Puget Sound Regional Council was you might want to have some policies to talk about special needs and elderly housing and how we're going to address the growing elderly population over time. So whether it's in the economic development element or in the housing element, we're going to respond to that particular issue. Where the Planning Commission is right now, they have actually finished their work on the goals and policies. They have finished their recommendation work on the implementation items. Those are really the key substantive items of the comprehensive plan, although they want to take some time to go through the balance of the document as well. So I think we had anticipated scheduling a public hearing for the City Council and the comprehensive plan for June 23rd, and that's just not going to happen. The Planning Commission's actually not going to finish their work and get your recommendation for you to hold a hearing by June 23rd. And I'll finish up by saying, and maybe this is something I would have put in the department report at the end of the meeting, but the extent that there will not be a council hearing June 23rd may not be that bad, because last Friday I got a revised version of the East Monroe EIS. I looked at it, gave comments back to the consultant. We talked about it this morning, and I think we're in a position now with just a little bit of advice from the city attorney to begin to move forward with the public process for the EIS, supplemental EIS for East Monroe. And that kicks in notification, public process, public meeting, and for that to go on kind of simultaneous with this process, it's going to be a fairly substantial amount of work. So trying to get the notification out potentially at the same time that you would have had a council hearing on the comprehensive plan would have been challenging. Let me just put it that way. So that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Guerin. Thanks. And just looking through some of the stuff that was talked about last time as well, I saw some of the stuff about the airport, and we talked a little bit about tourist commercial, and I just want to confirm again, and airport use is still allowed under tourist commercial, and because there was a little bit of talk about here, you know, the airport may close in their comments. I'm just trying to figure out where that comes from, because we don't own it. We don't control the airport. It's not our piece of land, and whether the good doctor chooses to do that or not is kind of, you know, up to him. I believe he still owns it, right? So from that standpoint, I saw some of this. There seemed there was like a little conversation about, hey, all the things we could do there, which comes. I just, you know, just want to confirm again. Under tourist commercial, you could have that there and a bunch of other stuff too, if you really wanted to. Maybe it doesn't. I think one of the things we had talked about a couple years ago was actually expanding the runway a little bit, if that was possible, with mitigation, a whole separate issue, and, you know, man caves and a hotel and a restaurant. There was at least talk of, hey, there's all kinds of stuff that could happen there. To make sure that can all still happen under the tourist commercial. If someone wanted to do that, it may never happen.
Right.
But in the tourist commercial, that those types of things are still possibilities. Otherwise, we're zoning a use out through adoption of our new comprehensive plan. I just want to make sure.
And I actually think you just repeated exactly what you told the consultant when he was here and made a presentation on the overall comprehensive plan. That was the intent.
Yeah.
Allow it to continue.
Allow it to keep. Very good. Yes. Thank
allow the airport to continue.
Okay.
But anticipate that it may not.
And then, exactly. Right. Just as long as the options there under the new thing, I want to make sure.
Correct. That's
okay. Very good. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutback.
Just a question on same comments and congratulations on getting some positive comments. How much time do you think it's going to take you guys to kind of look at some of the areas they're asking you to look at and address some of the issues in there? What do you think time-wise that is?
Well, I would say about 80 to 90% of these, not very long.
Yeah.
The ironic, well, I don't know if it's ironic. Some of these are the same comments I got in the City of Fife. So I'm going to be able to deal with it pretty easily. Right. But Fife did not have an airport, so it's going to take a little bit of time to talk to the Puget Sound Regional Council and get a sense of what their intent was on this airport comment.
Yeah.
And some of these comments require getting in and probably doing a few more, getting into the census data and doing some more tables and analysis. Not really time consuming, but it does take a little bit of time.
And some of sounds like what you said earlier is communicating what we're kind of already doing, but they might not realize
exactly.
That.
Right.
Okay. And then so my comment, I don't know if it was last week or the other week, about aging population and having something in our plan that addresses that boom in the population across the county, and then what does that look like for Monroe? What does that look like as far as how do we address that with housing and?
Just off the top of my head, it could take the form of having policies to make sure that you have provisions or you're willing to allow in your zoning code nursing homes, congregate care facilities.
Okay.
It may mean, and Monroe may already do this, it may mean making sure that you have provisions for accessory dwelling units, so that elderly individuals can live close to their kids and things like that.
Okay.
So in terms of housing, it could be things like that.
So it sounds like some of that stuff we have, and so some of it might be highlighting it in the plan
exactly.
That we have it and to continue it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have any questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Asafi.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item that we have on our agenda is the tab I need to click on. This is a new business item. It's AB 15-106, authorizing Mayor Pro Tem to sign an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County establishing the Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force. As I've read before, I might ask the city clerk note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting for this item. The reason for my recusal is that I'm employed by the contracting party, Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 42-23-040, and based upon my consultation with the city attorney, I accordingly have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am removing myself from participation in this matter. So I'm going to go ahead and drop off the gavel with Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Kemper.
Thank you. Let the record show that Mayor Thomas has left the chambers at 7:54. All right, Chief Krenzer, you're presenting?
Yes. Council members, you already heard the lengthy title to this agenda. The proposed 2015 to 2016 interlocal agreement between the Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force and the City of Monroe Police Department. This contract is mutually agreed upon by both parties to formalize police participation in task force related services.
Council? Councilmember Cutterback.
Chief, I just have a couple of questions. I don't know, do you have it in front of you? No?
I have what?
The packet.
Possibly.
Okay. just went on this chart where you had 2010 through 2014, it has.
May I interrupt you?
Yes.
I didn't put the chart together.
Okay. But I just wanted to make.
From the task force.
Okay. Just wanted to make a comment for heroin drug seized. In 2013, it was 2,700. Is that in, do you think it's in pounds? Is that what it's in? And then in 2014, it had 31,361. I was just looking at that and go, that's a huge increase in my mind. So are you seeing that? I think I read across the county that.
Yes.
And then also with meth, I mean, it was 946 in 2013 and 8909 in 2014. So 2013, 946, 2014, 8909. So those numbers just seem startling to me, that's all. And then the other number that stuck out to me, which is a kudos, is under training, the number of personnel trained by the task force. In 2013, it was 26, almost 2,700, but in 2014, it was 8,300. So that seemed high. So that if that training's happening, that seems to really be a real benefit for the task force. So, anyways, I appreciated the packet, read through the stories and the articles and things. So, you know, that probably Ms. Willis put the packet together. So, kudos.
I don't have.
Okay. Kudos to her for all the information. It was good information for me to have and to read through and to see kind of the sense of all that the task force does and the extent of it. So that was all. Just those questions. I was surprised in the amount of drugs seized in the from year to year. So it sounds like meth and heroin are a countywide problem that are increasing.
Yes. Dramatically.
That's what it said, so I just was curious. It seems very high, so thank you.
And you, Councilor Quebec, you were referring to page 25 on the
yes.
PDF, right?
Yep, 25.
Just wanted to clarify for the record.
So I'm going to make a motion to authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign interlocal agreement with the Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force to formalize police participation in task force-related services.
Sorry.
Okay, the motion has been made by Councilmember Kedebeck, seconded by Councilmember Davis. Further discussion? Council? All right, we'll take the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0.
You can count
yourself.
6-0, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is under final action. This is final action number 1, AB 15107, ordinance number 008-2015, sub, adopting sidewalk use regulations, final reading. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. You had the first reading of this ordinance last week. This is a substitute ordinance that was slightly different than what went out of the packet originally. The major changes are just some legal tweaks that the city attorney had, and then we also added another section that changed another section of the code, in particular 5.28 in the special events, to make sure that we didn't have a conflict between this use and that use. And we also changed the requirement for disallowing merchandising in chapter 12.20, so that there's no conflicts within the code that we found anymore regarding this. So this is up for final adoption if the council so desires.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to find, I also just missed it, how many feet out we were allowing, because the last time we talked it was going to be to the light poles.
Well, that's generally what it actually is written as, is you have to leave 5 feet of walking space open and 3 feet immediately adjacent to where the cars park. And you're free to put your stuff anywhere that meets those two
that's
criteria.
Right. And somewhere it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So from the ballast towards the building has to be 3 feet?
3 feet, so car doors can open, people can go watch either car. And then, so if you want to start there, you do 3 feet, that's required, and then you can do 2 more feet to make the 5 foot walking path.
Okay.
Or you can do the 3 feet and the 5 feet up against the building, because in front of, there's a couple places where the sidewalk bumps up, where it goes up into the ADA accessible route is immediately adjacent to the building, so that has to be the 5 feet that's open. So in those places, you could use the space in between that 5 feet immediately adjacent to the building, the 3 feet next to the bullets,
okay,
could be your display area.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. That was the main question I had as well, just clarification on that. And I guess with that, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to adopt ordinance number 008, 2015, MMC by the addition of a new
Chapter 12.30, Sidewalk Use Permits Establishing Regulations Governing the Approval and Use of Certain Sidewalk Areas for Merchandise Displays, Seating, and Sidewalk Cafes, Amending Chapter 12.20 MMC, Beautification of Commercial Areas, and Chapter 5.28 MMC, Special Events to Reflect Such Regulations, Providing for Severability and Fixing a Time When the Same Shall Become Effective.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. And going to now to discussion on the motion, Councilmember Cutaback and then Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Cutaback.
I think it's great that we're only requiring one permit process, so I appreciate the streamlined approach to make it easy for people. And then second, are you going to be bringing back updates to council as we're seeing permits come in? I think it's going to be something that I know I would like to know if there's monthly updates or if there's lots of stuff happening, just provide a as needed update. Yeah. That would be great. Thank you. That's it.
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I just wanted to echo what Councilmember Cutaback said. Also, we are not charging a fee, correct?
Correct.
And that's neither an application fee nor a use fee.
No fee whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other discussion on the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is council member reports. I think. Okay. I heard. Maybe I missed something. Okay. Council member Gehring.
Thank you. A few things. First, I'd like to say congratulations to all of our graduates from Monroe High School over the weekend. I know I have a lot of family friends who had kids who graduated, and it was a lot of fun to celebrate with them afterwards while we weren't at the event, but lots of parties going on, which also means lots of writing checks and cards. But it's a lot of fun. So a really fun time, just excitement to see a lot of these kids move on. Also got a chance to go to the Taste of Thai, which was really fun, the event at Lake Tai with the water skiing and the wake surfing. Guy I'd never seen, I guess I just missed it, but one of the guys got up behind the boat, giant wake, and literally threw the rope back into the boat. I don't know that I had never seen that before, but the wake was literally pushing the person along, and then they did tricks inside this bowl of wake. And apparently it's very common, apparently I had missed it before, because I had never seen somebody throw the rope back in the boat and still falling right along behind the boat. It was really, really cool to see. And then I guess when you're done, you just get the rope back and you're done. But a fun event took my daughter. She got to paddleboard. Lots of kids out there. Zeke was out there paddleboarding. He was having a great time, too. So, and Mayor, there's a lot of people were there. So it was a lot of fun. You know, lower key than the big thing. But what beautiful weather. It was an awesome time. I also had a chance today to sit in on a meeting where staff was some people who were trying to do some things downtown, and I just want to say I just thought that there was excellent customer service with these people. I thought the staff members that were there, I was just there as an observer to kind of see. I'd heard about the meeting, and I just thought staff did a great job. I just wanted to say thanks to those who were involved, and you could tell the people that want to do something down there were just so appreciative of the way that they were treated, and I just really felt like, regardless of what perception may be here or there, negative perception just simply isn't true, and that was proven today, certainly by what I saw. And certainly we want to encourage as much development downtown as possible, so I just thanks to everyone who was involved, and I know there were some others who probably weren't in the room that were involved as well, but I thought that was great. With regard to, there was a question about grease traps, and maybe later when we come back around, if you wouldn't mind maybe talking a little bit about that, because I certainly would have some other questions about, you know, what can or can't we do with regard to that, and maybe an opportunity for you to talk about that when it comes around to grease traps. It sounds expensive. A lot of stuff going on. I just appreciate the job staff is doing and making people who are interested specifically in coming to downtown want to be there, and so what can we do versus what can't we do? And I saw that on display today.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Well, interesting, I was a little upset this winter, maybe not so much as I say, when I discovered the rats got to my 7,000-gallon swimming pool. So I guess I'm doubly blessed that I didn't fill up the new one until this weekend, so, which is considerably smaller than that 7,000 gallon monster. So I did get, I can feel the guy's pain. I got seven people living in my household. It's a shock sometimes. That's all I had. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Councilmember Camp.
Okay, I did fill up the pool. I'm probably going to feel the pain, but I tell you.
You are not. You're
I'm
in
not.
You're in the average
in the
now.
Zone. Okay, I made it in the zone.
You're in the zone.
I'm in the zone. Right. But I tell you, with this incredible weather lately, it would be well worth it. Anyway, my weekend was spent dealing with a graduate. I am best of luck to everyone who went through a graduation ceremony. It was my first one with the Monroe High School. The police escort down Frylands was incredible. The kids had a great time, and I could see my son's face smiling in the window of the bus. I heard some familiar names at the graduation ceremony and heard some familiar voices screaming, as mine was. I ended up being forced in 2 days of that. That was just an incredible experience. Again, congratulations all, and thanks to everybody for making a very special event for all the students.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Definitely congratulations to all our graduates out there. Quite the accomplishment, and here's looking to the future. As for myself, my family, I enjoyed coaching the last football game of the season. It was great. It ended about like every other game where, the kids probably didn't really score, but they were the only team walking off the field with a big giant grin on their faces. So that's really what's important. But I got to say, right after the game, we met up with some friends to do what was supposed to have been a short hike, Cherry Creek Falls in Duval, and ended up taking quite a bit longer than what we anticipated, especially with a couple of four-year-olds. And it was a lot of fun afterwards. Even though exhausted, tired, and we were very thirsty and hungry, of course, and being right there in Duval, and it was just fun just to be able to sit outside, walk the sidewalks, and these friends of ours that are from out of town, and finally look at me and said, made the comment of, you could make something like this in Monroe, and the response was, just wait. It's coming. It's almost here, and so it is fun and refreshing to be able to say that our downtown is going to be looking very, very nice here very soon. It's already looking phenomenal. So I'm excited, and I'm excited to tell people about it. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Yes, ditto on the congratulations to the graduates. Sometimes I wish my 13-year-old teenage boy was closer, but I've got a few years in there. Saturday, I went to Miracle League, was there for a couple games, and then I went by the Taste of Thai. It was great. Low-key when I was there, not a ton of people on Saturday morning, but it was pretty cool to see, and I walked around the lake and watched as I was walking around the lake, so that was great. This Saturday is the last Miracle League game of the season, so if anyone wants to come out and volunteer, it's a great cause, do a great job out there. And then looking at this, I think this looks great, so you'll probably talk about it, but I like the different options, so I want to thank the staff and the mayor for getting on this and, communicating with downtown, because I think that's key. And since all this process has started, I've been going downtown even more than I have. And in the beginning, I was getting mixed reactions from business owners, to be honest. But over the last week, I've been down numerous times, and it's a very welcoming, friendly environment down there. I think people are starting to see that the parallel parking is not that difficult. The spaces are big. I parallel parked right in front of the music store, so I've been down there frequenting, giving business, and seems to be very busy down there, and you seem to be able to get in and out, so kudos to the construction and city staff for managing that. I had no problem finding a space. It's pretty busy down there, but pulling in and out and getting into a store was you know, easy. So I appreciate the work that everybody's done to pull it off.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Good on the graduates. Good to have that over. Busy weekend. Other than that, just love the way downtown is shaping up already. And telling all my out-of-town relatives, showing some of them. So it's looking good.
Thank you.
Let's go out to staff. Let's go ahead and start off with Mr. Winton.
Nothing.
Mr. Darrow.
Thank you, Mayor. Last weekend, a couple events out there. As Laurie mentioned about the Taste of Thai wakeboard event, and then also we had a dog agility event at Scarborough Park going on last weekend. And then this weekend, we have Legends baseball tournament, and then we're just a couple weekends away from Trevor Row.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson.
Can I come up?
Yes.
First of all, I got two things I want to talk to you about. First of all, was just that we had the wrap-up meeting from the cleanup event with all the players, and next year's event is going to be Saturday, May 14th. I'll remind you, so don't worry.
Dr. Palmer.
And it was requested that we bring shredding back, so we're going to have shredding, and the e-cycling was a big hit, so we're going to have that again. Very heavy. Republic says that our events are the best ran and the best flow of all the events they have. So that was just kind of a nice thing to say. The reason I came up forward to talk to you is the state auditors are requiring that I file financial statements and annual report for our traffic benefit district for 2014. I was not planning on doing it because financial activity didn't even start till 2015, so I was going to do it for 2015, but they said no, they want one for 2014. So I created a financial statement that shows a beginning fund balance of zero and an ending fund balance of zero. A lot of zeros on my parts to please the auditors, but one of the schedules I have to submit, and this is what I want to talk to you about, can you take one and pass it on?
Sure.
It's called an audit assessment questionnaire, and I'm required to fill this out. And there's two things on it that I want to bring to your attention. One is on the very last page, it's the very final thing, it's item number 133. I'm going to need one of the governing body members, which is one of the council members, to review the reports. After I've done the entire report, I need one of you to review it and say, yes, this looks accurate. I'm hoping one of you will say, yeah, I'll take a look at it. And I would have to give your name, your daytime telephone number, and your email address. I'm assuming your council address. The other thing, and this is a little more sticky, is item number on the second to last page, item number 127. They're asking, they're telling. It says, attach a listing of all governing body members, that's the city council, during the year, including names of spouses, places of employment, and all business interests of household members. And I think what they're looking for is related party transactions. For instance, if you're the governing body of the TBD, and it's supposing your spouse is a major player in a construction company that builds roads, that's what they're looking for, that type of relationship. But this is personal information that I'm going to have to ask all of you to submit. And I'll send an email out to remind you, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. I belong to a Yahoo group, and it's all municipal finance directors in Western Washington, and we all talk amongst each other. The guy from Maple Valley threw a big stink about this, and we were all talking about how we thought this was ridiculous, but different cities did have their attorneys look at it because they wanted to protest this type of information giving, but they didn't get anywhere. So the final end result is everyone's having to do it.
Quick question on 127.
Yeah.
Most TBDs are going to be elected officials. Is that a correct statement?
I would imagine so.
We fill out something called an F-1 form. Every year, a personal financial form.
You already give this information?
We give more information than this, and so it's EDC. So it would be interesting. Yeah, but I mean, what we would give would be less than what we do for the F-1. But it would just be point of interest that this information is available for all elected officials that serve on the TBD. It's all available through the PDC. So it's just a point of interest. They're asking for information that we already provide.
Okay. So. Well, that makes me feel a little better, because I have to tell you, I felt very uncomfortable asking for your spouse's name and, you know, your personal
life. I was concerned because it said spouse's names, and I just got
wrong. Okay. Going to go that route.
Names of spouses. Name of spouse. Okay. So
okay, but anyway, I'll send you an email requesting this information, but I just... wanted to let you know.
Okay, with that said, is there a motion to adjourn? I'm just please let the record show the council member Gehring came in. The time right now is 8:17. I'm sorry, council member Gamble just came in. The time right now is 8:17. Council member Gamble, just to let you know, right now we've just gone past council member reports. We're in department reports right now, and our finance director just gave an update. And we'll fill you in a minute. Councilmember Gehring, and then Councilmember Kadovac. Councilmember Gehring.
Diane, I'd be happy to be your governing body member who reviewed it. So.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Kadovac.
I'm just going to suggest that Councilmember Gamble have to do it since we're about to
adjourn.
If it rolls in,
we're about to adjourn.
Councilmember Gehring, thank you.
Good God.
Councilmember Gamble, Councilmember Gamble, the one thing that is of importance that Ms. Nelson was just going over is this item number 127. She's going to be sending you an email requesting that information from you. It's part of the TDD, and it's information that you already provide with an F-1 to PDC every year. So, in fact, it's less than what we do. But just FYI, when you get the email, when are you going to need a response to those?
Well, I was supposed to have filed it before May 30th, and that's why the state auditor's office contacted me, because they said, how come you didn't file for it? So it's past due, so I'm hoping this week maybe we get it done.
So if you're able to watch your emails and get the information back to her by Friday or Monday, that would be greatly appreciated. Okay. All right. Anything else, Ms. Nelson?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
Well, I know that usually when I'm here, I talk about new class and new residential development, but I was just going to give the council just a brief update on some of the non-residential projects that are going on in the city right now. And just to kind of give you a sense of what's going on. Tractor Supply, if you know about, we expect to issue their community grading permit very soon, very quickly. Canyon Creek, the cabinet manufacturer, they have about a 20,000 square foot addition that's going on right now. That's in review right now, CEQA review, environmental review. The Monroe High School athletic field, the resurfacing and the lighting, that permit got issued today. There was a business called the SR2 Tap Room in the Monroe Plaza. Outdoor seating, parking area, outdoor seating, and that permit has been issued, and they're doing the interior remodel work right now. It will open fairly soon. Speedway Chevrolet, they have an RV sales office that they're remodeling right now, and we either have issued or will issue tomorrow a permit for the sales office portion of that particular business. Carl's Jr. is still in permit review right now. And Evergreen Health, they have a first and second floor tenant, interior tenant remodel that I did not realize was $2 million worth of TI work. And that's going on right now. The permit's been issued and that work is taking place. And I don't think I mentioned in the past, we had a pre-application meeting about I always need to say time. It's kind of going back so quickly. So it's like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a pre-application meeting with a development team that's interested in demolishing the former Eastside Masonry building and building a new development at that particular site. So that's just kind of a sense of some of the items that are going on right now on the non-residential side.
Does anybody have any questions about all this development activity that we have going on here in town? Okay. Councilmember Kadovac.
Do we know what the development would be where the concrete block places have they mentioned? You said it's non-residential, but...
It would be rebuilding a similar building and... I know it, it's a manufacturing business.
Okay.
I don't want to get too much more specific.
Okay. Thank you.
And we also, I became aware at the Wakeboard event that there is a new brewery opening up just east of the Cammy Teriyaki place. It's called Dreadnought Brewery, and there will be a ribbon cutting for that later this month. So there are a number of things going on, and he's just given you a smattering of some of those items he's working on, your department's working on. So, yep. Okay, anything else? Okay, sounds good. Chief.
I imagine most of you saw the television news or read the newspaper about the kidnapping at Dyke Point in Monroe yesterday. I can assure you there will be another press release in the morning that will clarify the situation. It will debunk what was put out. So, in other words, it didn't happen. The park cleanup, I'm surprised Mike didn't say anything.
I was going to ask him, but I figured he was deferring to you since
you get the job. I think he's on a lunch break.
Apparently, the Parks Department culture is a little bit different than the PD. When 11:30 strikes, it's lunchtime, and PD keeps working until the job.
Donut run.
Chief, you have.
I think you should let the council member.
Today they did the large. Areas that I showed you pictures of last week, and they took out 4 dump trucks.
Well, about 80 tons, we estimate.
Wow.
And I would also say it wasn't just the Parks Department, the Police Department, Public Works was very much involved in doing this, as was the Fire District. The easiest way to remove a lot of the debris and the like was over water, but anyway, it went well. There was one occupant, and the occupant was at the largest one and largest site, and he was decent and left. He said he wasn't aware that. We were going to ask him to leave, and so tonight there's a way down there, but we will be not only patrolling but looking for campsites very frequently, so we don't have to go through this again, because this was a real mess, and I know I got a lot of comments from the guys that. You know, there was a lot of hard work done the day removing all the debris and the like. So, and because a lot of you said in some of the personal things you went through this last week, I'd like to say that last night I spent 4 hours with my great grandson, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, wow.
That's great grandson.
Cool. Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Albert.
Thank you.
In your packet, there's a list of all the projects with updates for those things. The highlight is Turner Place bid opening on June 18th. West Main Street is tentatively scheduled to start June 29th. We'll start working on the west side of that project. And then we've also received our, speaking of TBD, and I actually wrote this down before we talked about the TBD. The pavement rating that we had done with the, I don't know if you've noticed the white van driving around town with these little dangly things in front of it, that was checking our roads and what condition they were in.
I can't hide behind them anymore. So that report came in, so now we have the current rating of all our streets so that we can start the process of getting the schedule down of what streets will be done first and what treatment will be done to rehabilitate them with the money that we've been collecting since March. So that's all I have for today.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, how much money is in the TBD? Do you know how much we've collected? Just curious.
About 62,000, isn't it?
What was that, 77,000?
77,000?
Yeah, it ranges between 60,000 and 70,000.
And then, Brad, just curious, is complete project documents, are those the construction documents?
For which?
Well, it's for just an update when you're talking about Main Street Gateway. Are the complete project documents, are those construction documents?
Yes.
That's the same lingo? Okay. And then one question about Woods Creek Road Phase 1, and we have the estimated cost $1.8 million. And I know we've applied for a washed-off pedestrian bicycle program. What is that grant amount? You didn't list the grant amount of that, you know?
They're over the top of my head, but it's like, I think it's 87.5%.
Of the $1.8
million?
Yeah. Okay. And then just kudos to all the projects that are going on. It's just a lot of stuff, a lot of improvements. It's just really good to see. So thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead and my report. Very busy last week. A couple of high points. One for the downtown project that's going on right now. I received a voicemail from somebody with Allure Salon letting me know that they really appreciate all the work that has occurred down there. They really like the way the sidewalk looks. They like working with Doug, who's our public works inspector out there. Mentioned that the construction folks did a really good job of directing clients to the front door. And if I'm not mistaken, she said that they actually carried one of their clients to the front door. So I continue to be appreciative of all the work, of all the positive comments that I am hearing. I don't see that as much in social media and the like, but it's people that call me and talk to me and whatnot. There are positive comments about the construction, in addition to the negative comments that you know that we hear in other forums. So, just sharing that with you. I also had a meeting with Dan Evans from Monroe, from the Monroe app. There was a problem with the app. First week there have been about 600 downloads of the app. There was a problem with the proximity detector as it relates to the beacons. That was fixed last week, so that would have updated automatically with your iPhones if you have them set to do that. And he now feels confident that we can go ahead and begin the marketing part. So as you know, so far what we've been doing is like just putting the icon on the bottom of our email and on the letterhead and things like that. We will be looking at doing like banners on our light poles and things like that that essentially convey, you know, download the Monroe app. Also at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds as part of the Speedway, they're going to be having contests and things like that that encourage people to download the app, and then I guess there's some way they can give discounts or some sort of promotional thing through the app. So we talked a little bit about that. I think that's it with those two items. Yes, Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you. This looks really good.
Thank you.
Had a team that was done.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and talk about that then next, and then I've got other items on the list. Let's go through this really quickly, and Councilmember Hanford, I'll let you hold on to the floor since you brought it up, and then Councilmember Herring is next. So the items here, first, this sheet right here is intended to go into the utility bill. So the cost is lower because of the size of the document and everything. This item right here is more of a handout, as I understand it, that will be like at the front counter and then, you know, just handout, I guess, a self-explanatory. And then this would be the letter that you saw last week that's been modified, and
How are we going to use the letter? That part of
the mail to property owners and business owners.
Mail to property owners and business owners. Okay, so that was the idea among the three right here. We decided that it would be appropriate to have Dave Osaki be the contact person, you know, person doing development in the downtown. We want to make sure that you hook up to the right person. And so that's what we try to drive things toward in all of these documents. Rather than calling it a temporary waiver of fees, we decided to give a date at the bottom so that at the end of the year, you know, we can print out new ones if you all decide to extend it, you know, for another year, that kind of thing. And I think that's about it just for a general overview. Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Gary.
Looks great. Thank you.
Thanks. Just a couple of suggestions. I do think it looks great. Just a couple things I think you can actually make to make it even more of an improvement. Downtown is unique. Semicolon. Let's capitalize on that. I'm going to suggest way too many semicolons. I would suggest an exclamation point after unique.
Okay.
And that's the end of the sentence, and then a capital L. And so that on each of the, it's on the flyer here as well. Just for that one, I think that's actually the only change I would make to this. This one here, just from a standpoint of you've got two different types of formatting. I'm a little bit anal, but this part I do some of this stuff as well for some other things. Yep. It's just that the formatting is different on the same side, same different sections, and it would be nice to that could look the same in both sections, whether or not you maybe reduce the font on the top part. The information is great. I love what's here, and I love the layout. Just be a little cleaner, and again, putting the exclamation point here, but let's put less capitalized on it on a new line.
Sure. Sounds good.
Starting that on a new line, and then, you know, again, if there's any, if you can even out even the way that the bullets and then the space, if that could be the same in both sections, play with it however you can do it, maybe reduce a few words in the bottom section to maybe make that happen. That'd be awesome. Yeah, that same change there, and these, again, just making it look super sharp and professional. There probably needs to be some space in here. Those don't look lined up. But again, and there might be a formatting issue.
Yep.
With that.
Okay.
But great content. Looks great. Just a few little things like that.
Okay. Thanks. With your permission, I'd like to take your documents since you were pointing at them, and that'll make it easier for me just to give it to staff. If you all are fine with the way the content is and comfortable with formatting that Councilmember Gehring just went over, we'll go ahead and finalize these. We'll put them together in PDF, and we'll get them out and distributed over the next week and a half or so. We want to get these out as soon as we can because we want to make certain that people are aware of these earlier in the year and can start taking advantage of them. So I don't see anybody in disagreement on that, so we'll go ahead and do that. Thank you all for your feedback and input and work on that. And staff, thank you very much for reformatting these. Okay, the next item that I have is that on Thursday last week I met with Mayor Eslick from the city of Sultan. She met with me to talk to me about us taking part in applying for the IPZ status. Again, I'm sure that you all are aware of that, the Innovative Partnership Zone. I expressed that I would first just make certain that you all would concur. I would like to go ahead and take part in applying for the IPZ again. This is a partnership among the cities of Sultan, Monroe, and Snohomish. And the amount, what we would be doing is we would have Forterra put together the application, which is due, I think, on the 16th. 1 week from today, which is why I'm mentioning it tonight. And while we do have a couple questions that we're trying to get answered, that assuming that those answers don't cause other questions or concerns, we would go ahead and proceed with taking part in that. And there is an estimated cost of $6,000 to $8,000 total, is what she explained to me, that would need to be paid for the work for Forterra to submit the application. So if council's okay with it, we would just go ahead and figure out, you know, is it thirds or is it based on population size? Whatever the case would be, it would be, you know, our share would be under $10,000. So Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Cutterback.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely in support. I was in support last time as well. However you guys figure out to divvy it up is great.
Okay.
But it's a I'm bummed we weren't chosen last time. But so, yeah, we absolutely try again because
doing it as a partnership with those three cities and tourism and IPZ for that, then I'm assuming it's tourism.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we did before. It's the outdoor.
Outdoor tour, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm all on board. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
What's the grant size again? Did you mention that?
Well, and that's part of the trick here is that, and I mean trick like, you know, magic trick, but that's part of the difficulty or the challenge here is that there isn't any money in the account right now, as I understand it. And this would be allowing us to identify it as an IPZ. And that as funding does become available in the future, we'd be able to apply for funding. I think the amount that I heard in a different capacity a couple years ago was just over $100,000 per IPZ, and I think there were 11 of them at the time. I think there were 11 of them statewide. So,
does that sound about right?
And the $6,000 you mentioned, is that our portion too, or that's the total cost of?
Right. She said the total cost would be $6,000 to $8,000, and in my brain, I'm estimating $10,000, and you know, total. And then I figure that we'd either be based on proportion of population or based on you know, just doing thirdsies. So that's a technical term.
Strategery.
Thank you. All right. The last item that I have to mention. First, I want to publicly, I do thank those organizations that were part of the cleanup effort. And as I had mentioned before, I attended a barbecue where Catholic Community Services, the Hands Up group, and other people were there trying to help people find housing. I am meeting with that group, the Hands Up group, on Thursday this week. To talk a little bit about other areas in town where we do have homelessness issues, and they have an interest in making certain they follow through, or at least helping us follow through with other parks, other publicly owned land here in town where this is an issue. And so I'll be meeting with PD and with them and with the Parks Department just to talk through what other things we can do to move along people that may have been displaced from the recent action or other cities to other areas of town. And so I'll be keeping you informed on that as things progress with that. Let me see what else. I also attended this weekend the same event that Councilmember Gehring did. I also went to day two for the Star Spangled Banner. It was nice. We actually had two bald eagles queued to fly over the flag as it was being boated down the lake. So I guess I can take a little bit of credit for that. No, I can't, but the other thing, too, is I spoke with a number of the vendors that were there, including Batdorf and Bronson. They're interested in opening up a coffee house up here somewhere, maybe working with a company that would like to have Batdorf and Bronson up here. So they're from Olympia, Washington. They do their roasting down there, and so I'm working with them to get additional information from our community development department. That sort of use, if it could locate in the downtown, would create a little bit of a destination for people to go and mill around on a nice Saturday or Sunday morning. And so that's something. I spoke with a couple of the other vendors that were there also. The app actually worked when I was next to the yogurt place that was there, the Froyo place, and it popped up, come get a chocolate chip cookie. Okay, it didn't exactly say that, but it said, come tell us you got this, and I showed it to her, and boom, there was a chocolate chip cookie in my hand, so that was nice. I think that's it for right now. One last thing. So we had a tour with Goodwill on Thursday. I found myself suddenly triple booked at the same time, and so we have moved the Goodwill meeting to Thursday next week. So please watch your calendars. I think the time we were tentatively looking at was about 3:00 on Thursday next week, and that'll be just before the Dreadnought ribbon cutting for the brewery, which is at 4:30 on Thursday. So if you're interested in going, please let us know if we have a quorum. We do need to provide notice. Of course, the monitor is invited to attend also. So, any questions for me? All right, Gene.
The only thing I have this evening is staff, the mayor, and myself met to discuss the continued effort to outreach to the citizens on information we're doing here at the city, things that are happening around town, projects, that type of thing. And so, starting as early as tomorrow, we're going to try and put something out on Facebook every day, just just kind of give an update on what's happening. So the plan is for tomorrow when I get in to work with staff and see if he gets them out, the sidewalk regulations would be the first snippet that goes out. So.
One of the pieces of feedback that I get is on Facebook, a lot of times you'll see the police blotter. And the police blotter. And the police blotter. So the idea was that we might want to share things other than just the police blotter. So, anyway, that's.
Okay, the draft agenda for June 16th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have a proclamation for Speed Week 2015. Consent agenda, under unfinished business, we have approval of contract amendment with H3O. It's still on task. I'm waiting for some additional information. I sent out an update to council, I think last week or something, that we requested H3O identify each part of the contract they're asking to modify, amend, and they responded immediately after I sent the email to them saying that they would do that. So. Hopefully we'll have something back soon as soon as I do receive that. I'll do it out to everybody so you can see what they're proposing. Discussion about downtown parking, time restrictions, and the 2015 comprehensive plan update. Unfinished business. We have Mayor Pro Tem to execute the commute trip reduction agreement with Community Transit.
Quick question. Mayor Pro Tem for the commute trip reduction agreement with Community Transit. Is that with Snohomish County or Community Transit?
So CTA, I believe, Community Transit.
Because Community Transit's not Snohomish County.
Okay.
So we'll confirm that, but based on my knowledge, it's not. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. And first reading of the 2015 budget amendment. And final action. We have a resolution regarding the Transportation Improvement Program. And then the Legislative Affairs Committee report. Currently, we do not have any topics. And so the question is, does the committee want to meet? Is there topics? And if so, will there be a quorum?
Before we move off of that agenda, please let the Pledge of Allegiance be shown as Councilmember Guerin has sculptured the pledge this evening. Let's go ahead and move on to the extended agenda.
Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Gamble and Councilmember Guerin. Councilmember Gamble.
Actually, I wish that light when you're still doing report.
Okay. Then Councilmember Gamble for reports. And
we'll I just wanted to apologize. I did not anticipate it being that late. They moved the jazz band for the first time ever to the last group to perform as opposed to the first group to perform. So I just came from the Park Place Middle School end of year band concert. It was fantastic. Well attended. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and alike. They did great. Last week, extremely busy. Parks are bustling at the seams, which I know Mike knows all about. The championship games are this week for Little League, so we'll be down there with microphones and all kinds of stuff, using a vehicle to drop that stuff off. So appreciate that, and the boys are all excited because we're going to be announcing their names on the speakers and the Star Spangled Banner and all that kind of jazz. And then the Legends Baseball Club this weekend, so the Monroe's base, that's the local baseball club, will have a tournament all weekend out at the parks. So just a very, actually, the next like 2 or 3 weekends, I think they have that monopolized up. But just a good week all the way around, but it seems like there's even more things going on. It was great. I didn't get to stop, but I got to swing by as I was on my way to the softball tournament out of town, the Taste of Tide. The only other thing was that when we got to the extended agenda, I may not be present on the 7th of July. That is tentative right now. I don't know if I will be back in town in time or not.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring, then Councilmember Hanford, then Councilmember Cutaback. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make sure we can put on the we had the citizen comments tonight about the sewer rate thing. So whenever if we can put something on, maybe just tentatively if we have to move it, whatever. I think they said end of the month. So maybe this first, maybe like the second week in July, maybe the 14th or something, maybe as a tentative. I don't know. By that, we'll have something in front of us, that kind of a thing. So just like to get that on there so we can.
For the rate statements?
Yeah, what we were talking about earlier tonight. Yep. About
okay.
Thank you.
Welcome. Councilmember Hanford, you've linked out. Okay, Councilmember Cutaback.
I will not be here on the business meeting for July 28th. Yeah.
For July 28th.
July 28th.
And please note at this point in time, all we have right now on the 30th, which is our fifth Tuesday, is the comprehensive plan update. Mm-hmm. And with our usual cycle, are we looking at a need to consider canceling that meeting next week, June 16th?
Special meeting, so.
Correct. It is a special meeting which has not formally been noticed. So okay. At this point, there is no meeting that day. It's just added safe and agenda placeholder in case council or staff needed to request to have that meeting.
Okay. So I guess the inverse of that would imply that if we are going to decide that it would be advantageous for us to know by the 16th if we will indeed have the meeting on the 30th then.
In order for staff to be accurately considered, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Cool. So, real quick, being the council, if you feel that we have a need for the 30th, it would be nice to know that by next week so that we can deal with that and plan accordingly. Okay, anything else for the extended agenda?
All right.
Councilmember.
Thank you.
Brazel. Mr. Brazel.
Councilmember Gehring mentioned earlier in the meeting an interest to talk about fat soil increase ordinance that we have in place. I did briefly speak with Director Feilberg, and we're wondering possibly this is something that we could bring back at a later date. Here's what we talked about in the meeting today is that the applicant is working in the downtown corridor and had mentioned there's no room for a certain type of interceptor to outfit the proposed restaurant going in. And so we'll need to research that, find out what can fit, what can't fit. There's two different type of systems that can be installed right now, depending on what type of facility it's going in. So we're not prepared this evening to talk about that. However, if that's something the council would like to put on the long-term agenda, we can certainly come back and then address the downtown specifically and have an overview on the whole city and how it's interacting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Yes. Put it on the future agenda.
Thank you.
Or June 30th.
Nice. Thanks.
Kidding.
That's where he wrote it.
Just as a reminder.
Right. Okay. We have no other business this evening. Councilmember Hanford, move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford. And second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.